Welcome back. This episode is all about getting ready before day one, so the workshop can start with learning instead of setup problems. Please try to finish this at least one day before the event. And if you want the bigger map first, the Get Going with GitHub guide explains GitHub Classroom, your learning room repository, challenge one, evidence prompts, and tool choices.
I like that this is pre-work, but not busy work. It's the stuff that keeps you from getting stuck when everyone else is opening issues, making commits, and trying their first pull request.
Exactly. You'll want a Windows or Mac OS computer, a reliable internet connection, and headphones if you're using screen reader audio during group sessions. Linux users can still follow the Git installation path, but the workshop hardware guidance focuses on Windows and Mac OS.
And the software side is a modern browser, a screen reader, and a GitHub account, right? Chrome or Firefox are recommended for GitHub, Edge is fine on Windows, and Safari is usually the best match for VoiceOver on Mac OS.
Yes, before the workshop, install Git, install Visual Studio Code, and make sure you can sign in to GitHub. VS Code version 1.113 or later is recommended for later accessibility agents work. Git should be at least version 2.20, and Copilot should be current because it updates through VS Code.
There's also Node.js, but only for optional command line accessibility tools later. So if someone hears Node version and thinks, I don't have that, it doesn't block day one.
Let's start with the GitHub account. If you already have one, you don't need a second account, but you do need to know your password, have access to the email address, and be able to sign in.
Username choice feels small until you realize it appears on every issue, pull request, and comment. What should people use?
Pick something professional and easy to recognize. Lowercase letters, numbers, and hyphens are safest, and GitHub will tell you if the name is already taken. During signup, you'll enter an email address, create a password, choose the username, decide whether you want product update emails, and then complete human verification.
That verification step can be the rough spot. GitHub may present a visual CAPTCHA, and that can be a real barrier for screen reader users.
Yes, look for an audio option such as audio or try an audio challenge. If the available challenge isn't accessible, contact the workshop organizer before the event so someone can help with account verification. After that, GitHub sends a short launch code to your email, and later you should also activate the separate email verification link.
And that email verification is not the same thing as optional notification emails.
Right, account verification is required for features like creating repositories. Notification emails are about activity, and the workshop does not require you to receive those by email because GitHub also has a web notification inbox.
Now, two-factor authentication. People hear 2FA and sometimes think, oh no, another login hurdle.
It is one more step, but it's an important protection. Two-factor authentication means your password alone is not enough to sign in. You also confirm with a second method, such as an authenticator app, passkey, security key, or another approved option. GitHub requires 2FA for accounts, so make sure it is enabled and tested before the workshop.
The part I always worry about is recovery. What if someone changes phones or loses access to the app?
Save your recovery codes somewhere secure and add a backup method if GitHub offers one that works for you. Do not wait until the morning of the workshop to find out your 2FA method is unavailable. If you get locked out or you're unsure, use the support hub before the event.
How does this connect to Git on your computer? Is that another password prompt?
Often VS Code or Git will open a browser-based GitHub sign-in, also called OAuth, where you approve access in the browser instead of typing a password into the terminal. More advanced options like SSH keys and personal access tokens are covered separately, but browser sign-in is the friendliest starting point.
Once the account exists, I would want GitHub itself to feel less noisy. What settings help with that?
Open your GitHub account menu, go to Settings, and find Accessibility. The exact labels can move as GitHub changes, so use Headings, Landmarks Search, or your browser's Find command if the page looks different from the guide.
The big one is hover cards, right?
Yes, disable hover cards first. Hover cards are pop-up previews that appear when the pointer or focus lands on certain names or links, and they can interrupt navigation. Then enable link underlines so links are easier to identify without relying on color alone.
What about character key shortcuts?
Those are single-letter shortcuts on GitHub pages. They can be useful, but they can also conflict with screen reader browsing keys, so set them in the way that works best with your assistive technology. While you're in settings, choose a theme that gives you comfortable contrast, such as light, dark, or a high contrast option if available.
The profile step is partly social, but it also sounds practical.
It is. Maintainers are the people who review issues, review pull requests, and help decide what gets merged into a project. A clear profile, a short bio, and a profile picture, if you're comfortable adding one, can help maintainers recognize you as a real contributor. You can also set the notification email you want GitHub to use, or keep email notifications off and rely on the web inbox.
Then there are feature previews, which always make me nervous because every account seems a little different.
That's normal. Feature previews are switches for GitHub experiences that may still be rolling out, such as new interface features, search experiences, or Copilot-related surfaces. With NVDA or JAWS on Windows, navigate the settings page by headings, buttons, and search fields. If a preview is not listed, it may already be generally available, unavailable for your account, or controlled by an organization policy.
So not listed does not automatically mean you did something wrong.
Exactly. If the workshop asks for a specific preview and you cannot find it, write down the page, the account you're using, and what your screen reader announces, then ask for help.
Let's talk about screen readers and browsers, because this is where a small setting can change the whole experience.
You only need one screen reader. On Windows, NVDA is free and widely used, and JAWS is a paid option with a trial. On macOS, VoiceOver is built in and can be started with Command plus F5.
For NVDA, what should be ready before GitHub work starts?
Make sure web browsing feels predictable in your chosen browser. Practice moving by headings, links, buttons, edit fields, and landmarks, and choose a voice rate you can understand during instructions. If you use Focus Highlighting or Speech Viewer for support, set those up before the workshop begins.
And JAWS is similar, but with its own names for things.
Right? Make sure the virtual cursor is working in web pages, Forms mode behaves as expected when you enter edit fields, and verbosity is set to a level that gives you enough detail without overwhelming you. GitHub pages contain a lot of controls, so comfort with headings and forms is very helpful.
For Mac users, Quick Nav matters.
Yes, with VoiceOver, Safari is the recommended browser, and Quick Nav can make web navigation faster when it fits your workflow. Also remember that many Mac shortcuts use Command where Windows instructions use Control, and VoiceOver commands use the VoiceOver modifier, often Control plus Option or Caps Lock depending on your setup.
So the browser recommendation is not about brand loyalty. It's about which combination works best with GitHub and the screen reader someone already uses.
Exactly. Chrome and Firefox are strong choices on Windows, Edge is acceptable, and Safari is the usual VoiceOver pairing on macOS.
Before we install anything, can we separate Git from GitHub? The names are almost identical and that trips people up.
Git is the version control system on your computer. It tracks changes to files over time, lets you create commits, and supports branching so you can work without overriding the main project. GitHub is the website where repositories, issues, pull requests, reviews, and collaboration happen.
So Git is the tool that records the history, and GitHub is the place where people collaborate around that history.
Yes, on Windows, download Git from gitscm.com, run the installer, and the defaults are usually fine for this workshop. After installation, open PowerShell, Command Prompt, Git Bash, or Windows Terminal and run Git version.
What about macOS and Linux?
On macOS, you can install Apple's Xcode command line tools, often by running Xcode select install or use a package manager if you already have one. On Linux, use your distribution's package manager such as apt-dnf or pacman, then verify with Git version. If you're using a screen reader in the terminal, copy the output or review the current line if speech doesn't announce it clearly.
And then VS Code is the recommended editor.
Right, Visual Studio Code is a free code editor with strong Git integration, a built-in terminal, accessibility support, and Copilot integration. Download it from the official VS Code site, install it, and open it once so it can finish its first run setup.
How do we turn on screen reader mode in VS Code?
Use the keyboard shortcut listed in the setup guide if it works for your system, or open the command palette with Control plus Shift plus P on Windows and Linux, or Command plus Shift plus P on macOS. Search for Toggle Screen Reader Accessibility Mode and run that command. VS Code should announce or show that screen reader mode is enabled.
What changes when that mode is on?
VS Code exposes editor content and controls in ways that work better with assistive technology. It can improve how the editor, suggestions, notifications, and navigation are announced. We'll practice the everyday shortcuts during the workshop, including the command palette, opening files, using the terminal, and moving through source control.
Git identity is one of those setup steps that sounds optional until your commits show up with the wrong name.
Exactly. Git stores a name and email address with each commit you create. In VS Code's terminal, you can set them globally with git config global user, name followed by your name and git config global user, email followed by the email you want attached to commits.
What should people use for the name?
Use the name you want maintainers and classmates to see in commit history. For email, use an address connected to your GitHub account or use GitHub's private no-reply email if you don't want your personal address exposed. The important thing is that GitHub can match your commits to your account.
And the check is simple.
Yes, run git config global list and confirm that user. name and user, email are present and correct. If you mistype one, run the command again with the corrected value.
This is also where the privacy decision shows up. A commit email is not just a setting hidden on your machine, it can become part of public project history.
That's right, taking a minute here prevents confusing commit attribution later.
What about VS Code extensions and Copilot? Do learners need to go hunting for a pile of add-ons?
No pile needed. GitHub Copilot is included with modern VS Code builds, and Copilot Free is available to GitHub users. To activate it, sign in with GitHub from VS Code when prompted and confirm that Copilot Chat or Copilot features are available.
The other extension is GitHub Pull Requests, yes.
Yes, open the extensions view in VS Code, search for GitHub Pull Requests, install the GitHub Pull Requests extension, and sign in if prompted. You can verify it is working by checking that the GitHub Pull Requests view appears and can connect to your GitHub account.
If someone's computer is locked down, is GitHub Dev a fallback?
It can be GitHub. Dev is a browser-based editor that looks and feels like VS Code and opens from a repository in the browser, often by pressing the period key on a GitHub repository page. It is useful for lightweight edits, but local VS Code plus Git is still the recommended setup for the full workshop.
And there are other GitHub access methods, but they are not the main path here.
Right, GitHub Desktop and the GH command line tool are useful references, and GH Copilot exists for command line help in some setups, but they are not required for this workshop. The core path is GitHub in the browser, Git on your machine, and VS Code as the editor.
Before someone closes the laptop and says done, what should they verify?
Confirm you can sign into GitHub, your email is verified, and 2FA works. Confirm your accessibility settings are adjusted, your profile is reasonable, your screen reader and browser combination is comfortable, Git responds to Git version, VS Code opens, screen reader mode is enabled, and your Git name and email are configured.
And check versions if you're planning to use later advanced features.
Yes, run code version for VS Code, Git version for Git, and Node version only if you installed Node.js for optional command line tools. The written guides, learning cards, and tool cards are good quick checks if you want a compact review.
What happens when day one begins?
You'll work in your own learning room repository, which is provisioned for you. That's where the first contribution workflow happens: issue, branch, commit, pull request, and merge. The setup you did here supports that whole path.
And if something fails before the event, don't silently struggle.
Use the community access support repository. You can open a support issue, join the support discussions, or ask in GitHub's accessibility community discussions. Include the exact page, command, prompt, or error message where you got stuck.
And when tools change, because they will, use official sources rather than old screenshots.
Yes, the current GitHub documentation, GitHub's change log, the Git project documentation, and VS Code documentation are the best places to confirm details. The goal is simple: arrive on day one signed in, accessible, and ready to contribute.